بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله تعالى من عشر ذي الحجة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال سيدنا أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه كان يقال في عشر ذي الحجة كل يوم بألف يوم. Respected friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His infinite grace and mercy offers us, we the sinful servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are engaged in the disobedience of Allah, those who are filled from head to toe in sin, those who, because of the environment we find ourselves in, fall prey to the traps of shaitan, so that we don't lose hope looking at our sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us from time to time some lifelines, some special moments, some chosen and selected and mubarak days and nights. And this is so that that bondsman, that slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who may have reached a stage of despondency, he may have reached a stage where he thinks that he is doomed and there is no way out for him, he finds himself in a mubarak place sometimes. Sometimes Allah brings him to the masjid. Sometimes he goes for hajj or umrah. He finds himself in a mubarak and blessed place. And then he gets tawfiq to turn to Allah and seek Allah's forgiveness. And alhamdulillah, his life changes. And like that, respected friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with certain moments in time. Special moments when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emits special mercies, additional mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala engulfs the earth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made reference to this in a hadith where he mentioned, إِنَّ لِرَبِّكُمْ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ نَفَحَاتٌ. Indeed, your Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has reserved certain nafahat. Nafahat, nafha means an emission. An emission of a fragrance. Normally it's used to refer to an emission of fragrance. But here it refers to the emission of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has reserved certain times and moments in the year when He emits His special mercies. فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says, avail yourselves for these occasions. Make sure you take advantage. Like in the world, respected friends and elders, when there's some special moment or time or season, then we would like to maximize our benefit. The same applies to deen, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises us here. In one version of the riwayah, he says, اِعْمَلُوا الْخَيْرَ دَهْرَكُمْ. Carry on doing good all your life. Doesn't mean you should only turn to Allah on these occasions. Continue throughout the year. But then, وَتَعَرَّضُوا لِنَفَحَاتِ رَبِّكُمْ. But then avail yourselves for these special moments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, by and large, we are well educated regarding these special occasions and mubarak days or nights, the month of Ramadan, the day of Ashura, the day of Arafat, Shab-e Barat, the 15th of Sha'ban, the day of Friday. Respected friends and elders, we find ourselves currently a few days away from one of these such nafahat, one of these such special moments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah. A few days onwards will dawn upon us the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hijjah are from the Ashhurul Hurum, the four sacred months, the four months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared more sacred than other months. These were considered sacred throughout time. Even before Islam, the pagan Arabs, in the days of Jahiliyyah, they also would understand and they also were aware. And they would also uphold the sanctity of these 4 months. Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and the month of Rajab. These are the four special months in the year. Several Sahaba radiallahu anhum have mentioned that from these 4 months, the best of all is the month of Dhul-Hijjah. That is almost upon us. In fact, the famous Tabi'i Ka'b al-Ahbar rahimahullah says, اختار الله الزمان وأحب الزمان إلى الله الأشهر الحرم. Allah selected certain months in the year. And from those months, the most beloved months are the Ashhur al-Hurum, the four sacred months that we are discussing. وَأَحَبُّ الْأَشْهُرِ الْحُرُمِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ذُو الْحِجَّةِ. And from these 4 months, the one that is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the month of ذُو الْحِجَّةِ. وَأَحَبُّ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. And from ذُو الْحِجَّةِ, from the 29 or 30 days of that month, that which is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَحَبُّ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْعَشْرُ الْأَوَّلِ, the first 10 days and nights of ذُو الْحِجَّةِ. So in other words, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, respected friends and elders, is the best of the best of the best. It's the best days from the best month, from among all the months that are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama actually explain, and this may come as a surprise to us, ulama explain that these 10 days that are going to dawn upon us, the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, cannot be matched by any other batch of 10 days in the rest of the year. The hadith of Bazzar mentions that afdalu ayyamid dunya, afdalu ayyamid dunya, or a'zamu ayyamid dunya, the greatest of all the days in the world, ashru dhul hijjah, are the 10 days of dhul hijjah. In Ramadan, Ramadan is very sacred, and we understand that month to be sacred. In Ramadan, there's one night, Laylatul Qadr, that is the best night of the year. But ulama draw the comparison that even the last ten nights of Ramadan combined, if we exclude Laylatul Qadr, cannot match up in virtue to the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam in Quran, wal fajri wa layalin ashr, by the oath of the morning, by the oath of dawn, and the 10 nights. Many mufassirun explain that the 10 nights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a qasam on in Quran are that first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. وَلَيَالٍ عَشْر, by the oath of these 10 nights. These are the most beloved of days and nights to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith of Bukhari Sharif, mentions, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهَا أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ عَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. There are no other days in the year in which Allah loves that good deeds be carried out, good deeds be performed on those days, in comparison to these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Allah loves the most that on these 10 days we turn to Him in ibadah. Sa'id bin Jubair rahimahullah, who is a narrator of this, he is the student of Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhumah. He quoted this hadith from Abdullah bin Abbas, who quoted from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sa'id bin Jubair rahimahullah, a tabi'i, and he would quote this hadith. And as a lesson to us, respected friends and elders, ulama explained, Sa'id bin Jubair, when the month of Dhul Hijjah used to start, then he used to kana yajtahidu ijtihadan shadidan. He used to exert himself a lot, hatta ma yakadu yaqdiru alayh, to such an extent that he could, sometimes we would think he can't manage. So much he would exert himself on the 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. Let us think to ourselves, respected friends and elders, do we really understand these days and nights to be the best batch of 10 days of the year? And how do we react? How do we respond? How do we avail ourselves to this great moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you find these nafahat, you find these special moments, then fata'arradu laha, then avail yourselves, present yourselves on these occasions before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No deed, respected friends and elders, carried out on any other day of the year can match a deed carried out on these 10 days. Even that one subhanallah a person may recite, if he recites it on any other day, it will not match the reward that you will accrue for reciting it on these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Even one rayon of sadaqah, one additional rak'at of nafil salah, the fast, etc. No deed can match any amal that a person does on these days. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has encouraged us to carry out certain a'mal. Standing up in ibadah on this night, respected friends and elders, is very strongly encouraged. And the riwayat mentioned that standing up on one night of the 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah, a person will get the reward of spending ibadah on the night of Laylatul Qadr as well. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu mentions, it used to be said, meaning the Sahaba used to say, regarding these 10 nights or 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, كُلُّ يَوْمٍ بِأَلْفِ يَوْمٍ, every day is equal to 1,000 days. وَيَوْمُ عَرَفَةَ بِعَشَرَةِ أَلَافِ يَوْمٍ, and the day of Arafah is equal to 10,000 days. In other words, the rewards for carrying out, whether it be tahajjud at night, whether it be the fast during the day, whether it be tasbih and sadaqah, whether it be tilawat of Quran, can never be matched, respected friends, unless multiplied hundreds and thousands of times. Therefore, on these days that are going to come, a person needs to make a change in his schedule. Like when we anticipate anything, any important occasion, then we plan ahead of time, respected friends and elders. The day my son is graduating, the day my child is getting married, the day I am opening a new business, people prepare in advance. Like that, a mu'min actually lives for days like these. People say, I'm waiting to see the day, for example, this particular project of mine gets completed. I live to see the day that so-and-so gets married. A believer in reality, respected friends and elders, lives for days and nights like these. And especially these 10, which are the best 10 days and nights of the entire Islamic calendar. So we need to make a change and an adjustment in our schedule. It should never happen that these 10 days are passed like every other day of the year. No, respected friends and elders, this is an opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to get closer to Him and to become more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I will explain further. So make a change in the schedule. Speak about it in the home. Conscientize the wives and the children in the home. And respected friends and elders, like we show respect to the month of Ramadan, like we show respect to every other big night, so to say, and significant night, let us show respect to these 10 days and nights that are coming. Those apps on our phones that take away our time, those friends that take us towards vice and haram, and every other tool, respected friends and elders, that leads us away from Allah, let us delete that. It should be deleted forever. But at least in preparation for these 10 days, let us delete those contacts, let us delete those apps, let us remove those objects and tools that take us and draw us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How unfortunate, respected friends and elders, how wretched would be that person who these days come and he treats it like every other normal day. He watches his television, he may be listening to his music, he may be engaged in any other vice and wrong, intermingling with the opposite gender, wasting time, money, abusing the eyes, abusing the ears, etc. And that those days come and go, and he never take any benefit from the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is engulfing the entire globe on these days. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also encouraged that additional dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take place on these days. In the riwayat of Tabarani, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after mentioning that the afdalu ayyam, the best of days, the most virtuous of days are these, then he says, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنْ, then abundantly recite on these days, مِنَ التَّسْبِيحِ, Subhanallah, وَالتَّحْمِيدِ, أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, وَالتَّهْلِيلِ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, وَالتَّكْبِيرِ, Allahu Akbar. Frequently recite this. Respected friends and elders, we do not find many examples in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he prescribed particular dhikrs for days like these. On the night of Qadr, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. One dua for the night of Qadr. The day of Arafat is a blessed day. The day of Ashura is a blessed day. But there's no particular dhikr, respected friends and elders, for Ashura. But on these days, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically highlighted, recite the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith of Muslim Sharif, these very four forms of dhikr, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar, أَحَبُّ الْكَلِمَاتِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَرْبَعٌ, they have been labeled as the four most beloved of statements to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these 10 days are the most beloved days in the eyes of Allah. To carry out any amal on these days is most ahab, most beloved to Allah. To recite these dhikrs on any occasion is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in essence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this opportunity, respected friends and elders, of becoming beloved to Allah. Do what Allah loves, and inshallah, Allah will love us. The rest of the year we engage in all the wrong. The rest of the year we did zulm in some way or the other on our fellow brethren, or even zulm on ourselves by committing sin. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-zalimin. The rest of the year we did those deeds that Allah doesn't love. Allah doesn't love those who commit zulm. The rest of the year, respected friends and allies, we engage in israf and extravagance and wastage. Wallahu la yuhibbu al-musrifin. Allah doesn't like those who waste. The rest of the year, respected friends and allies, we expose our pride, we brag, we show off. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah doesn't love those, the proud braggart. So the rest of the year we engage in the a'mal that Allah hates. What will be our position in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And here these 10 days, we've got a chance of doing those things that Allah loves. And inshallah become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become mahbub in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that a person does what he wants, what he wishes. Our deen is not a deen of convenience. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought a religion of ease, not convenience. We will not do what we want to do, when we want to do, and when it's convenient for us to do. We will do what is required of us, respected friends and elders. So the deen of Islam is easy, but not one to be done out of convenience. One is that I serve my guest like I want to do, and the other is to cater for my guest like he wants. Which is better, respected friends and elders? So like that, worshipping Allah, conducting ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that Allah loves is the ideal. And as I mentioned, in the light of these ahadith, inshaAllah, by doing these, we will become beloved in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama explain, why is it that these days are so beloved to Allah? Why are they the best batch of 10 days in the year? Why do they have so much of fada'il and virtue? Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, a great commentator of Bukhari Sharif, explains. He says, because the deeds that are carried out on these days, all are combined, all the acts of ibadah and all the different forms of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all culminate and are found on these days. And this is not found on any other days of the year. We are encouraged to fast on these days. So Sawm takes place on these days. Together with our Farz Salat, we are encouraged to stand up at night in Ibadah and in Nawafil Salah. So Salah, additional Salah takes place. We are encouraged to increase our Dhikr of Allah, like discussed, the Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wa La Ilaha Illallah, Wallahu Akbar. So Dhikr of Allah increases on these days. The Takbirat of Tashriq will take place there. The Takbir is after the Farz Salat from the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. The A'mal of Hajj are carried out on these days. No other days of the year will you find all of these a'mal combined together, but on these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And respected friends and elders, it all culminates with that additional monetary sacrifice as well. The Qurbani, Yawmun Nahr, we refer to as the day of Eid, the day of festival. But in Sharia, this is referred to as Yawmun Nahr, the day of slaughter. Unfortunately, respected friends and elders, we were deceived maybe when we saw it as the day of Eid, and we forgot it was day of slaughter. The day of Eid, everybody celebrates Eid. Everybody prepares for the day of Eid, wears his best clothes, eats the best of foods, etc. But does everybody who can afford really engage in the slaughter? The reason for which that day got its name, Yawmun Nahr. And the riwayat mentions, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha mentions in the hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, that ma amila adamiyun min amalin yawman nahr. No man can do any deed more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, beloved to Allah. No man can do any deed on that day, the day of Nahr, that is more beloved to Allah. Ahabba ilallahi ta'ala min ihraq al-dam. Than the spilling of blood, in other words, slaughtering an animal. On the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha, we should refer to as the Baqra Eid. The 10th of Dhul Hijjah is a day of slaughter. And there's no amal on that day that is greater that a person can do than to slaughter an animal for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَإِنَّهُ لَتَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That animal that a person will slaughter will come on the day of Qiyamah. بِقُرُونِهَا وَأَشْعَارِهَا وَأَزْلَافِهَا. It will come with its horns, with its hair, with its hooves. In other words, every part of that animal will be there on the day of Qiyamah as a means of reward for this person. وَإِنَّ الدَّمَ لَيَقَعُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بِمَكَانٍ قَبْلَ أَن يَقَعَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. Look at this part of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the blood also enjoys a great status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It reaches Allah before it reaches the ground. Why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speak about the blood? The blood is the thing that nobody values. If it comes on our clothes, we wash it out. We bury it out, we don't even give it to anyone. That animal, the thing that we don't use at all is the blood. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that that will reach Allah also. You will get reward for that as well in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what about the rest of the animal, respected friends and allies? Even the blood is treasured by Allah. Then the meat, then the wool and the fur, then the horns and the rest of that animal will also be there in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected friends and elders, as I mentioned, the deen is not a deen of convenience. When it is convenient for us, we will do. No. Unfortunately, this notion has spread globally. That religion is now being given the back seat. If it is not convenient for me, I will not practice. Respected friends and elders, every human being, generally irrespective of his creed, but as Muslims we'll refer to ourselves, every Muslim, the most important thing in his life is his deen. And that ought to be the outlook of every human, whatever his creed, whatever his religion. His religion reigns supreme. Islam reigns supreme in our lives. The rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the most important thing that pertains to me in my life. So whether it is convenient or not, respected friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that it is only binding qurbani and to slaughter an animal on the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha, is binding on those who have the nisab, 5,000 or 6,000 rands, surplus. If he's not owing anybody money, his assets are 5,000 to 6,000 rand extra in cash, respected friends and elders, then the qurbani is wajib on him. But we find people very recently as well, and in the past few years, the complaint or the concern that it is becoming now exorbitant. The cost of slaughtering an animal here is becoming difficult and it's out of our reach. As long as, respected friends and elders, we are those who own the nisab, we have that amount of money, then it is within our reach. There may be some rare case scenarios, but respected friends and elders, generally, by and large, this is the rule and applies to everyone. And one person, this maybe a week ago, was mentioning. So I said to him, tell me, what's the cost of your phone in your pocket? You could find the money to buy a 5,000 rand phone, which is considered a cheap phone today. 5,000 rand phone you can afford. 10,000 rand phone you can afford. When the job could have got done with a 100 rand phone also. And unfortunately, we applied that the other way around. When it comes to qurbani, we want to get the job done with 100 or 200 rands. So why is it that we can't reverse? It is because our priorities are confused. It is because, like I mentioned, the notion of giving religion the back seat, unfortunately. It may be happening intentionally, or in many cases unintentionally. But in reality, this is what is happening, respected friends and elders. That our priorities have changed. That you can afford that kind of a lifestyle, but you can't afford to fulfill this one obligation that comes once a year, and on that day the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person obviously is not malik of nisab, is a person who generally a person who can collect zakat, then it's not binding on him. So in those kind of homes you will find on the day of qurbani, there is no animal, there is no blood on their hands and clothes, there is no parceling of meats to send to others, in the homes of destitutes, respected friends and elders. Not in the homes of those who can afford, but the home is the same, it's wayran and it's deserted, there's nothing happening to do with qurbani, with slaughter, there's everything else, whether it be feasting and meeting and greeting, but no sacrificing of that animal in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Undoubtedly people throughout the globe are needy, and they are needy every day of the year. So let us increase our sadaqah, let us increase the animals that we want to sponsor overseas. During these days as well, and every other day of the year. But let it not be at this expense, respected friends and elders. Our children are growing up. What type of Islam are they exposed to? What type of deen are they exposed to? When everything is done, even their own leisure activities. Their leisure activities which used to be outside, playing with friends, mixing around. That also is done on a screen. A time mustn't come and we're slaughtering on the screen as well. Where is that Islam that they are supposed to be living, respected friends and elders? See what a person deprives himself and his family of when he does not slaughter an animal. Many of us have the habit of slaughtering an animal in some farm locally as well. So we're paying that money, but we're not seeing the animal. Our children also don't see it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on more than one occasion called Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, Ya Fatima, qumi.
فَاشْهَدِي أُضْحِيَتَكِ Fatima, come and see, be present. Be present and see that animal being slaughtered. So whether it is overseas or whether it is done on some farm anywhere else in the country, if we are not there, then we are missing out on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's obvious Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha was brought within the confines of Sharia, wood parda, there would have been segregation as well. This is something also that skips the heart, that skips the minds of many, that during the day of Qurbani, the laws of parda and Sharia, the laws of segregation between the males and the females is violated and flouted to a large extent. If we can accomplish this by abiding by the laws of Sharia, then well and good. But if it's going to entail the mixing of male and female, then that woman rather not see her animal being slaughtered. But here, that animal should be there. You should be hands-on, like we say, actively taking part in the slaughtering of that animal. And then, respected friends and elders, you will see that blood which is the cause of your maghfirat in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which is most beloved to Allah. It's happening somewhere in the world, somewhere in some farm, and I don't even know it's happening. And then when you will engage in cleaning that animal, the woman and the children of the home engage in parceling the meat, etc., and then going yourself and giving it to the needy, there's so much of khair that accompanies that person who engages in this amal himself and doesn't designate it to somebody else. Designate other things of your world to somebody else, brothers. Get somebody else to do your accounting from, you know, outside. Get somebody else to do your audits. Get somebody else to do the cleaning in your home. Get somebody else to wash your car. But your deen, you do it yourself. Do it yourself, respected friends and elders. Don't delegate it to somebody else. And as I mentioned, these are days, and this is a amal on that day that is most beloved to Allah. Why do we deprive? Why do we deprive ourselves? So let us make this intention that we will do the qurbani. We will slaughter the animal here. And we will expose our children to that as well. Like it used to happen when many of us were growing up. Everything else in the world may change, but deen remains the same, respected friends and elders. So slaughtering ourselves, and if it cannot be in our own homes, and wherever it's going to be done, let us go, but abide and insist on abiding by the rules of Sharia and the rules of segregation, specifically, respected friends and elders. It shouldn't happen when fulfilling one command of Allah, many other commands of Allah are violated and flouted. This should be our intention. If a person never had the intention of slaughtering himself here locally, or even if he travels to some other part of the world, but he is there for his animal, then let him change his intention. Let him change his intention and make this intention that I will be there for my animal being slaughtered, irrespective of where it happens. And if I can, I will take my family as well. And we will all engage in this. Respected friends and elders, getting messed on that day also with the blood is rewarding. A person, a sahabi radiallahu anhu, was making sajda, and there was dust on the floor. He began to dust that area. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses him and tells him, Tarrib wajhak. Let your face get dusty. Let that sand come on your face. In other words, it's for the sake of Allah. Why you want to protect yourself from the dirt coming onto your face? Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu says, once Fajr Salat in Masjid Nabawi, it rained. And there was no carpet in the masjid in those days. So the place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making sajda was wet. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made sajda on the mud. And he never wiped it as he got up from the sajda also. It remained on him till after he made the salam. So if our hands are messed with blood, our clothes are messed with blood on that day, it's all in the part of fulfilling a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, that also is rewarding. And it's part of the spirit of qurbani. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, respected friends and elders, to bring these a'mal into our lives, to value these 10 days that are about to dawn upon us, to engage in those amals and those deeds that are most beloved to Allah on these days, thereby becoming beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq. Those who on whom it is binding to make qurbani, and those who will be making qurbani and slaughtering an animal, the hadith of Muslim Sharif mentions, Umm Salama radiallahu anha says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that those who will be doing qurbani and slaughtering on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah should abstain from removing the hair on their bodies, and paring their nails, etc., from the time the crescent of Dhul Hijjah is sighted. From the time the moon is sighted for the new month, which could be on Tuesday at Maghrib time, then it is mustahab, not binding. It is mustahab, preferable. It is encouraged. If somebody does not do it, he should not be frowned upon. There should be no objection against him. But it is good. And one reason for this is we are resembling the haji. We couldn't go for hajj. But the person who goes for hajj is an ihram. He also can't remove hair from his body. He also can't clip his nails, etc. So we are resembling him in some way or the other. The days of tashriq, when we recite the takbirat of tashriq, when we recite the takbir after the first salats, that's also reminiscing and resembling the hujjaj, because they are raising their voices in the talbiyah and the labbaik in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in these few ways we are actually resembling the haji, although we couldn't go, but something we can do as well. So it is also mustahab and recommended for those who will be slaughtering to abstain. And as I mentioned, it's important to understand, it's not binding, not wajib. May Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.